And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, have a little bit of a hoarse voice today, dear friends, because I've just had this old cold hanging around for several weeks now. I think once the old bug gets you, it just tries to hold on, but we're going to conquer that. And today I might just get going, and who knows, the Lord might accomplish a miracle and just totally take it from my body. I do believe in the power of prayer. I believe in the power that resides in faith. You know, the Bible says that we can move mountains through faith. A lot of us have mountains in our life. This old cold and a little bit of congestion really isn't that big a deal compared to a lot of suffering that other folks have with diseases and sicknesses, old age creeping up on some of us. But I want to assure you today there is victory in the name of Christ. Now, today's message is going to be so exciting because we're going to be discussing Bible prophecy and some amazing things. You're not going to hear this anywhere else. I can promise you this. Now, God may well raise up other prophets that will talk about this subject. I pray that he will, but I've never really heard it discussed in the way that you're going to hear it today. And God has just given me this wonderful gift of prophecy to talk about with you. And that's what I do here. That's what I do at Power of Prophecy. So many people wonder what I do. Well, God gives me secrets and I reveal them to you. And certainly he has put a lot of things in my heart that we need to talk about today. I want to start off, however, with reminders to you and even to myself that God has a prophetic word in his Holy Bible, and he tells the end from the beginning. I always liked the thought of that. You can know the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. 66 books in the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, they're all full of prophecy, and they're all related to the coming of Jesus Christ. That's really the whole story of the Bible, the victory that is in Christ Jesus, who is the very spirit of prophecy. But God, for his own reasons, now listen to me, for his own reasons, and they're good enough for me, whatever they are, I don't always know what they are, but he has designed the world, and he has allowed Satan to have an enormous kingdom. I don't know why. I could say, being a goody-goody two-shoes, that if I were God, I would not have designed it that way. I would not have allowed that old dragon, the devil, the adversary, to have so much power, even if it's temporary. But, you know, I'm not God. I'll never be God. And I am going to tell you right now, I know what he did was for good. Your good, my good, if we can only accept that. And the Bible says that we are to have no fear of these things in the last days. No fear. Not even of what we would say if we're called before the magistrates, before the justices. Obviously on trumped up charges, as many of us will be, as Christians have been done throughout the centuries. The Bible says, take no thought for what you're going to say. You don't need the best attorney in the world, because God will lead you in what to say. Well, so victory is assured for us, but along the way, some terrible things are going to happen. But you can have confidence that God will lift you above your circumstances. That's all I want to say about that. 100% assured. I want to talk to you today about the golem. We're offering the book now by Michael Collins Piper entitled The Golem. And as you know, Michael Collins Piper in his book, The Golem, demonstrates conclusively that Israel has developed a nuclear arsenal, missiles, atomic bombs. They stole them from the United States. Actually, they were given them by spies, Mossad spies, and they have the atomic weapon, and they say that there's as many as 500 nuclear bombs. Nobody knows how many. We know they've got them, though. They've got the missiles and so forth. So they have a nuclear arsenal. And once the so-called genie is out of the bottle, who knows where it will all end. But already we're having professors in the nation of Israel threaten to topple the capitals of Europe. And they're proclaiming that if they're ever threatened seriously again, they will bring the whole world down with them. We're reminded, of course, of the Bible and what it says in Judges chapter 16. It says, with Samson, all the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000. Samson took hold of the two pillars, and the towers fell upon the lords and all the people that were therein. Samson brought down the temple, took hold of the two pillars, the great columns that held it up, and the 3,000 lords, so-called, man-gods of the Philistines, died all at once. But Samson, too, died. Many Israelis today say, we are like Samson. If necessary, we will bring the whole world down upon its heads. And we, the eternal people, shall survive. We are gods. How can gods die at the hands of mortals? We are super beings. And so, they have planned evil for the world, even for the innocent. And most people are innocent. We're born with an evil streak, you might say, but in terms of doing harm to the Jews, there are only an infinitesimally small number of people that would do such a thing, but all 6.5 billion people would perish under the Samson option. And there is even a book, by the way, by Seymour Hersh called an American Jew called the Samson Option. In his book, The Golem, Michael Collins Piper warns about this Samson option and shows that the Israeli nation is a group of fanatical Jews who in their own Talmud and Kabbalah, believe it would be a wise thing to do to unleash nuclear attack upon the whole world. Well, Deuteronomy says something very interesting about what will happen to the house of Israel in the last days. Remember, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus himself prophesied horrors for the house of Israel. He said, your house, that's the nation of Israel, is left unto you desolate. He should know he's God. And if the house of Israel is going to be left desolate, he would know, and it was and is, just as he prophesied. I don't care what the John Hagees and the James Dobsons and the George Bushes tell you. There is no good thing called an Israeli democracy. There is only a theocratic terror state in the Middle East called Israel. That's all it really is. And it has done evil, it is doing evil, and it will do greater evil. Why? Because God said so. Tex, can you speak for God? Of course I can speak for God. And you can too if you'll just read his book. It's in his book. The book of Revelation says that Israel, Jerusalem, wherein our Lord was crucified, that great city will be Sodom and Egypt in the last days. How can you get more evil than that? A democracy? Please. A righteous nation? Shut up. God said Sodom and Egypt. In fact, the great two witnesses of God will testify there, and they'll be murdered and slaughtered. And the whole world will celebrate and have a giving of gifts day. That the two witnesses of God that tormented the world through the Word of God, that's right, you can torment people by preaching the Word of God to them. That alone would make you a terrorist. To torment the world by preaching the Word of God. You're a terrorist today, evidently, for doing so. Domestic, foreign, I mean, you got the whole bundle there when you preach the Word of God. You're tormenting people. And they'll be slain and lie in the streets of Jerusalem for 3 days, the Bible says. Why? Because that city wherein our Lord was crucified, Jerusalem, is Sodom and Egypt. Listen to what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 31, 29. This is a prophecy of Moses. And it is a prophecy for the latter days. The latter days. It says, remember now, this was almost 3,500 years ago. And evil will befall you. He's speaking to the house of Israel. And evil will befall you in the latter days because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. The people of Israel cannot do good. They cannot do good. They are evil. They will do evil. And if you are physical Israel today, the only advice I can give you, and it's not the only, it is the advice, is for you to shed yourself of your Jewish heritage and partake upon the heritage of Abraham and become one of his seed, because Galatians 3 verse 29 says, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you will believe in Jesus Christ, if he is calling you and you accept, and he's got to call you first, maybe you're not called, I don't know. But if you feel a calling, if you believe you're called, then by all means get on your knees and beg him to forgive you of your sins, and then you will become born again through Jesus Christ, and you will not be evil any longer. Your house will not be left unto you desolate any longer. You will not be under the curse any longer. You will not be the seed of Satan any longer. Did you hear me, Jewish friend? You will be the seed of Abraham. You say, well, I'm already the seed of Abraham. You just think you are. You're a fool. You have deceived yourself in your own so-called wisdom of the world. Because even the Jews, the Pharisees, told Jesus, we're of our father Abraham. He says, no, you're not. You're of your father the devil. If you were of your father Abraham, you'd believe in me. Oh, we don't believe in you. You're Beelzebub. You're a devil, they told Jesus. And he said, I'm going to separate the goats from the sheep. My sheep know me, and they will not follow anyone else. But the Jews said, we will not have this man to rule over us. This Jesus. Moses, no doubt, somehow miraculously saw the future all the way to the latter days, perhaps the 21st century. And he said, evil will befall you in the latter days. John Hagee says, things will get better and better because The Jews have the Golem, and they have the 10,000 nuclear bombs and missiles of America added to it, and we should go in there and wipe out the Iranians and wipe out the Syrians and all the enemies of the Jews, and God will bless us. And John McCain says, yes, if we have to have a war for 100 years, even 1,000 years, we'll do it for Israel, says Senator John McCain. Their hearts are desolate. They know not that they are partakers of evil. And the Golem monster is not only Israel, it's America, because we are the servants. The woman rides the beast. America is the beast, and she, that is Israel and the Jews around the world, ride the beast and tell it what to do. And the Golem monster grows more gargantuan every day. Terrifying, threatening the world and the few rogue nations left, as we call it in Bushology. Threatening not only would-be rivals in the Middle East, but the whole world with devastating nuclear destruction. I was recently reading an article by a man named Roberts. Brilliant man, used to be in the Reagan administration. He says, we have now out-Orwelled Orwell. I mean, a little tongue twister there. We have out-Orwelled Orwell. How? He says, well, generals that head up the nations of NATO, including the United States general in charge of our NATO forces, all released a statement last month, and they said it may be necessary to use nuclear bombs to destroy those nations that threaten to use nuclear bombs. Huh? Let me say that again. They issued a joint statement. That's the United States, Britain, France, and the others. It may well be necessary, and we must be prepared to launch nuclear bomb strikes on nations who we fear might someday launch nuclear bomb strikes. We have out-Orwelled Orwell. We've got to kill somebody because they might kill somebody. We've got to rape somebody because they may rape somebody. Huh? We've got to rob because somebody may rob. We've got to lie because somebody may lie. We've got to torture because somebody else may torture. Huh? We've got to be prepared to destroy someone with nuclear bombs because they might develop nuclear bombs. Huh? Do you get the Orwellian? Actually, it's beyond Orwell. I don't think even Orwell could have come up with something that clever. No wonder God warned that Israel in bondage to Satan in the last days would be a wild man. You say, where is that in the Bible? Just read it, Genesis 21, verses 9 through 21, Genesis 16, verses 10 through 12, Galatians 4, verses 22 through 31. Get this tape. Get those verses. Read them, and you'll see why Israel, the Jews, are collectively, as a nation, a wild man, and they are prophesied to wreak death and havoc through war and conflict. But why is it? It's because they want to rule the world. They did when Jesus came the first time. They're going to be like that the second time. They want to rule the world, and they believe they're gods. And not only that, they have created a monster to go forth and conquer. Now I want to repeat that. The Jews, with the aid of the United States and Western Europe in particular, have created a monster. Michael Collins Piper says it's nuclear bombs. I think it's even greater than that. It's a spiritual power. It's a monster. And I'm going to tell you about the monster today. It's not just nuclear bombs. And the Bible tells all about it. And it even gives names of the monster in the Bible. And there's so much more here. Even the ancient mythologies, the ancient mystery religions talked about the great monster, the beast in the last days. And the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel tells us and explains it all. And you'll be shocked to discover the magnitude of the golem beast. And you'll even discover that this golem monster is proven to be Satan's Baphomet. Baphomet, the horned goat god worshipped by the ancient Knights Templar. That's the golem. That's the beast. That's the Incredible Hulk. Genesis 6 gives us a clue to it. It says, and there were giants in those days and afterwards. When the sons of God beheld the daughters of men and took upon those that they believed to be beautiful or fair, it says in the Bible, uses the word fair, pretty. Took whoever they wanted to be their wives, and they mingle the seed of the devil with the seed of man. How can that be? The book of Daniel talks about this beast in the last days, and he will be made of a combination of clay and iron. But clay and iron do not cleave together, dear friends. Oh, no. You are a man or a woman of clay, as am I. It is only through the miracle of God that this clay somehow stays formed together and doesn't just obliterate itself. But somehow the atoms, the corpuscles, the molecules in our bodies, somehow there is an energy force, some kind of an energy force of which we do not know that keeps it somehow compacted together, or we will just explode apart. But scientists connected with men, and especially Jewish scientists, have long sought to take this same atomic substance, and instead of keeping it together, they have sought to dissect it and break it apart. And thus we have the chain reaction sequence of atoms splitting through fission and creating nuclear weapons and bringing upon mankind death. God brought the atoms together, and through some kind of a mathematical calculation that we could never even think of, although we keep trying to work out the genome chart of human beings and trying to create life through cloning and all these things, only in our lifetime, the last three decades or so, through the work of Watson and Crick, genetic engineering, biological engineering, we try to create human beings and try to figure out how all of these atoms and genes all work together. Meanwhile, scientists are seeking ways through particle accelerators and other instruments to break up the atom. What God has put together, I should say, man seeks to split asunder. Isn't that the way it always is? Now, Genesis 6 says there were giants in those days, the days of Noah, and they took women to be their wives, giants in those days. I don't know if it was necessarily physical giants, like they were 9 or 10 feet tall. I believe that's true, though. But in any case, they were giants because they were mythological heroes. They were like Hercules, Zeus, Athena, Venus, the gods and goddesses, capable of heroic exploits, of a mythical nature. They were heroes, superheroes, but they were demonic. And it angered God and it made him sick. And so he destroyed the world with a flood. But there were giants after those days too. Evidently, Goliath was one of those. And there were others as well. And even archaeologists have found the bones, the remains of what appear to be huge men, 17 to 20 feet tall, in places like China and the Middle East and Africa. How is that possible? I don't know. I'm just telling you what the Bible said. You can say that's all baloney. That's up to you, but you'd be wrong. Genesis 6 tells you about it. I believe these devil, half men, half devils, their progeny went and spread through all the known world, and they built many of these pyramids and the great obelisk that we see down in Central and South America and so forth. They went over to the British Isles and they built places like Stonehenge and others. And let me tell you a secret today, friends. God talks about them in Ezekiel 38 and 39, especially 39. He names one. He says that the name is Gog, of one of these great giants, of one of these devil people. Therefore, verse 1 of chapter 39 of Ezekiel, therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. God is against Gog, that's G-O-G, from the land of Magog. So Magog has a land and Gog is from there? What kind of people are these? They're monstrous people. And they hate the people of God, the true spiritual people of God, Israel. They hate them. But God says, verse 6. And I will send a fire on Magog, and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. God will send a great fire on this Gog from the land of Magog. The fire goes all the way to the isles. The islands? What nations are the island nations? Could it be Britain? Could it be the United States? Let me tell you a little secret, dear friends. If you visit London, be sure to go to the Guild Hall. That's like City Hall in New York City. When you get to Guild Hall, ask to go to the sanctuary. Yes, they have a big auditorium there, a sanctuary. There's an altar there, and there's a sanctuary, and there's two great idols you will find on display. Gog and Magog. That's right. The British people in London, representing Western civilization, have erected statues to honor Gog and Magog. And they placed it in Guild Hall in London, England. You say, Tex, that's incredible. I'm just telling you what's true. And if you ask, very few people can tell you about this, these idol statues of Gog and Magog that are right in the sanctuary where God's servant should be. Ask about Gog and Magog and these idols and say, who are these people? Who are these two idols? Who do they represent? They'll say the champions of London. For we obtain salvation through Gog and Magog. And then while you're at it, go to Nottingham, England. You know all the stories of Robin Hood? He wore green and he was out in the forest and all that. There you will find a great statue erected to the goat god Pan. But don't stop. Come back to London and visit Hyde Park. And there you will find in Hyde Park, right in the central part of London, another great statue erected. And it is of the great goat god Pan. A golem. And by the way, be sure to read the bronze plaque below, and you'll find that the statue of the great goat god, the devil Pan, there in Hyde Park in London, it says, this is part of a collection of the family of man. He's of the family of man. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. We're proving that Israel's golem monster is none other than Satan's Baphomet, as prophesied. Stay with us. We'll have a lot more when we return here on Power of Prophecy. Who is behind the golem? And what is the golem? This is Tex Mars. We're offering Michael Collins Piper outstanding new book called The Golem. Almost 200 pages in length. I believe it's one of the more important books written this very decade. You must have a copy of The Golem. By the way, when you're ordering it for another $8, the book is $25. For another $8, you may get our taped interview, either CD or audio tape, so be sure to request the one you want, of my interview with Michael Collins Piper on the book. Total of, for the book now, $29 if you want the tape. Add $8 for the tape or CD entitled The Golem. In fact, the tape is actually called Israel's Golem Run Amok. Israel's Golem Run Amok. But it's the taped interview that I had 60 minutes with the author of the Golem book, Michael Collins Piper. Now, again, the book is $25. Please add $4 shipping and handling. We have plenty of copies right now. I don't know how long they're going to last, but I believe we've got a few weeks worth. But I know they're going very fast now. It's an outstanding book, highly recommended to you. And it'll tell you all about the meaning of the Golem. There's even a number of pictures from the classic movie, the silent movie entitled The Golem by Wagner. So you'll have to get this book. By the way, I might mention in my own book, Codex Magica, I have a couple pages spread pictures from that same movie, The Golem. You can order Codex Magica from us if you don't have that outstanding book as well. And all of our products are audio tapes and videos, including the incredible video entitled Masonic Lodge Over Jerusalem, are available on our websites, powerofprophecy.com. That's powerofprophecy.com or conspiracyworld.com. All one word, conspiracyworld.com. Now, to get the book for $29, that's $25 plus $4 shipping and handling, just send a check or money order or cash to Power of Prophecy, 1708, that's 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Austin, Texas, 78733. We're at 1708 Patterson Road, and that's Power of Prophecy. Our phone number to call during the work week, Monday through Friday, Central Time, 8 to 5:30, is toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. We have the friendliest people on earth. They'll be delighted to serve you, and that's what we're here for, to serve you. We don't have anybody to serve but you and Jesus Christ. He comes first, but we'll take time to answer the phone because he wants us to. And we'll take care of you. I promise you that in a very friendly manner. We love our friends calling us. That number again, 1-800-234-9673. If you're overseas, Romania, who knows, Bulgaria, maybe Israel, maybe Iraq. I don't know where you're at, but we'll be glad to mail the book to you. But you'll have to phone us. Our regular phone line is 512, that's area code 512-263-9780. Now let's return to our regular program. We're discussing Israel's Golem monster and proving it to be Satan's Baphomet. Well, I was talking about the statues of the great goat god Pan in London's Hyde Park in Nottingham, England. But wait, there's another place you might want to check out. Here in the United States, in the city of Birmingham, England. Now, if you're over in England, they had pronounced that Birmingham. I know because I went to Birmingham, England one time, and with my Texas accent, I told them what a beautiful city they had there at Birmingham, and they all laughed at me. They said, we don't know about a Birmingham, but this is Birmingham. Oh, you have to get the wry and dry humor of the British. I love the British people. Birmingham, or Birmingham if you're from Texas, I suppose. But if you visit Birmingham, as you walk along the streets, ask them, where is the great statue of the monster? Vulcan. Vulcan, V-U-L-C-A-N. They'll point him out to you. In fact, he's probably going to be observable because he's on top of a hill. And this great statue, this towering, this imposing statue of a monster, a beast, is right there on top of a hill or a mountain overlooking the city of Birmingham in Alabama. That's right. a statue of Vulcan, but who is Vulcan? Well, you can read about him in your dictionary. You can read about him in the encyclopedia. Alexander Hislop, in his outstanding book, The Two Babylons, says of Vulcan that he is, in fact, Satan. But he's more than that. He's an Antichrist Satan. He says that Nimrod of Babylon was none other than Vulcan. Vulcan was known among the ancients and the mystery religions as the god of fire. The god of fire. A representation of Vulcan is found not only there with a great statue in Birmingham, Alabama, in the United States, but also in New York City, right in front of the Rockefeller Center. There is a fountain and a representation of Vulcan by the name of Prometheus. He is the one who gave man fire, the great god Prometheus. But there in the Rockefeller Center, right in the entrance, the statue of Prometheus, also known as Apollo by some, is a golden statue. And he holds in his hand, upstretched, a great torch of fire. He brings fire to mankind. He gifts mankind with fire. Well, it's very interesting. In the Star Trek series, oh yes, you see, Satan has embedded this image of the monster and the golem in all kinds of ways in our very lives. Go to Nottingham, England. There's a statue of the goat god. Read the Bible. Of course, God gives us that. Ezekiel 6, Ezekiel 38, 39. We're told about Gog and Magog. But wait, there's idols. There's statues in Guildhall, the city hall in London of Gog and Magog. And they're known as the champions and heroes of London. They made civilization possible by creating order out of chaos. Ordo ab chao, I was told. But back to Vulcan, the god of fire, also the god of the craftsmen, the workers. Oh, the workers of Lucifer! You see, the Freemasons say that Lucifer, or Satan, is the great architect of the universe. But the great architect needs a workman to build his universe. And thus comes Vulcan, the god of fire, and of blacksmiths, and of workers in metal. Now, the Bible talks about a creature, a being, in the book of Genesis, and look this up in your concordances, like Strong's Concordance, a being called Tubal Cain. That's T-U-B-A-L-C-A-I-N. Tubal Cain is a great personage in the orthodoxy of Freemasonry. Who is Tubal Cain? The Bible says he was an artificer, a workman in metals. Remember now the beast at the end of time. When the fourth kingdom comes upon the world, the book of Daniel says he will be a great beast made of a composite of iron and clay. And he will have iron teeth. And with his teeth, he kills many. Grinds them to death. The great machine. This fourth beast. He will devour the whole world. And even stamp the residue of God's people with his feet. This beast of iron. And the maker of him evidently is Vulcan. But who is Vulcan? I was reading many years ago the story of a man named Firestone. You know about Firestone rubber and manufacturing. One of the greatest makers of rubber products, auto tires and such in the world. Firestone was a student of the occult, as many inventors are. And Firestone had a great idea one night. How did he come upon the idea to create a synthetic rubber in a process he called vulcanization? Because of his study of the great god Vulcan of the mythologies, he said, I was able to discover how man could make synthetic rubber through the fire, putting oil through the fire. Vulcanize. Remember I told you that this this project has been woven into the mythologies and the ideologies of man. And so we had the Star Trek movies. And they had a character named Mr. Spock. Actually, Dr. Spock, I suppose. He was logical, mathematical, a genius. Had a computer brain. He was an intellectual. He was like a god man. He had, of course, those strange pointed ears like a devil. He had no emotion, no real sympathy or empathy. It was always just logical. Spock, they called him. On the USS Enterprise spaceship, led by Captain Kirk. You remember all those. There was Uhura and Scotty and so forth. I forget all the names of the characters. Uhura, of course, is named after the great Persian Zoroastrian god, Uhura Mazda, as is the Mazda automobile. But that's for another day. Let's talk a little bit about Vulcan and about the planet of the Vulcans, where Spock was said to come from. Spock gave a certain hand sign. Very strange. Three fingers, I think, on one side, the thumb and a finger on the other side, and then he left like a V in the middle. Is that the way it was? No, the V was actually two fingers on one side, and then two fingers and the thumb on the other, and then they had the V sign that he gave. And he called it the sign of Vulcan. And everyone who was a Vulcan with their pointed ears would give this strange hand sign called the Vulcan hand sign. Leonard Nimoy, the actor who played Spock, was asked, of course, many years later, what was that sign all about? Where did you get that from? He said, from the synagogue. I learned it at the synagogue. Because one time a year we had a certain ritual or ceremony, and everyone was, all the young people were told to close their eyes and look downward. And then the adult men gave the sign of Vulcan, but it was the sign of Shin, S-H-I-N, which is the 22nd letter of the alphabet. Oh, they're in all kind of occult sorcery and such in the Jewish religion called Judaism. And this 22nd letter, Shin, that letter was, that sign was for Shin. What did it mean? It means the coming of the great God, or King David of the Jews, and the establishment of the great Jewish kingdom on the planet Earth, the Jewish utopia. That's what it means. It's a 22nd letter, 2 plus 2 equals 4, which is in occult numerology, the sign of Earth, or man, ruling the Earth. Vulcan. Vulcan is, in fact, Israel's golem. Mary Shelley wrote of the golem in a tale she wove together called Frankenstein. Now, I want you to think of the very name of that, Frankenstein. Stein, of course, means stone. In is oft, it means eye. It's the stone in the eye of Frank. But who is Frank? Well, the Frankist were satanic Jews who were very active during the days when the book Frankenstein was written. Frankenstein was a golem monster. Actually, his name wasn't Frankenstein, but they called him Frankenstein because he was put together by Dr. Frankenstein out of dead body parts. Just so, says Michael Collins Piper, the modern-day golem is nuclear weapons put together with the use of uranium, an element from the earth, by Jews. Always the Jews, in working for their new kingdom, have surmised that when their kingdom, when their utopia is realized, they will be gods on earth and they will be like new men. Did you know that the Soviet Union, if you read the works of Lenin and Stalin and even Khrushchev, He said there is coming a, Khrushchev said there's coming a new man, the Soviet man. He will be heads above any other man on earth because through the process of evolution, oh, they were evolutionists. Mankind is evolving into a godlike being. The New Age movement says through a quantum leap, men are becoming super beings. That's the word coined, by the way, by John Randolph Price. He even wrote a book entitled The Super Beings. Well, always, though, there's a concept of black and darkness mixed together. Let's talk a little bit more about this golem. You see, in Revelation 13, it talks about the golem, but it pictures two beasts. One comes up out of the sea, the other up out of the earth. But they're like mirror images of each other. The beast that comes up out of the earth commands the whole world to worship the first beast. He says, worship the first beast. And he is the image of the first beast. The image? Oh, yes, dear friends. You see, always there is a double image in Satan. Just like the yin-yang, there's the dark and the light. But somehow they're combined together. The Ouroboros, which is the sign of Judaic religion's great golem monster, but it's a circle, it's a serpent in the form of a circle, biting or swallowing his own tail. So you have the above and you have the below. In fact, in the occult world, that very term, as above, so below, is the most common term used. You see, they believe that every god has both a dark and a light side. Thus, the reason for the double-headed eagle in Freemasonry, which was borrowed, of course, from the Roman god Janus, who was pictured with one body, two heads. And the god Mercury carries a pole, which is a phallic pole, with two serpents intertwined about it, and they're you can see both of their heads at the top of the pole or the rod. You may have seen the god Mercury's double serpent pole when you visited a hospital recently or a clinic, or maybe on the side painted on the side of an ambulance. For it is the sign of medicine everywhere in the world. The double serpent wrapped around the phallic pole. Might be at your doctor's office. It usually is. The Egyptians worshipped Osiris, but they said there's another god of the underworld named Thoth, a god of darkness, a god of light. Osiris was the god of the sun god, but Thoth was the god of darkness. The Roman says, yes, there is a great god of the heavens. His name is Zeus, but wait, there is a god way below the earth, even below the sea. His name, Neptune or Poseidon, a double-featured god. Sometimes they would say God is both male and female. Job tells us about two beasts in the last days. But they both appear to be evil, Behemoth and Leviathan. Behemoth and Leviathan in the book of Job. But now let's get to Baphomet. Baphomet. Baphomet, of course, is a name of a god who has goat's head, goat's horns. But out of the middle of his head comes a great torch of light or flame. You may have seen the image of Baphomet. It's a horrible image. He has one hand pointed up and toward heaven and one hand pointed down toward hell. There is a crescent moon of light above, and there is a crescent moon of darkness below. He is half man and half woman, so he's androgynous. Out of the pelvic area, his genitals happen to be. In fact, the caduceus serpent, the rod and the two serpents, and a great circle. Now, this image of Baphomet was first given us, at least the physical image, in a book by a man, a Satan worshiper named Eliphas Levi. His real name was not Eliphas Levi. You can read about him in history books and on the encyclopedia. His real name, he was a French Jew and Satan worshiper named Alphonse Constant. He gave himself the name of Eliphas Levi because he said, I'm going to teach you the things of Satan, the things that are necessary for Satan's disciples to know. And thus, I am a Levite. Oh, the Levites were the priests. I'm a priest of Satan. And I am to Satan what Elijah and Elisha were to God. I am the greater of Eli. Thus, I am Eliphas. Eliphas Levi. Now, Albert Pike, who wrote the book Morals and Dogma, which is considered the Bible of Freemasonry, was a great student of this Eliphas Levi, also known as Alphonse Constant, the French satanic Jewish Levite teacher. And Eliphas Levi said, the God that the Knights Templar worship is a great God that we should all worship. And he intimated in many ways that this is the great architect of the universe worshiped by the Masons. And the letter G stands for him. And his name, says Levi, is Baphomet. Baphomet, this great goat god, this lustful sex god, this double-horned, double-crescent moon. He has words tattooed on his arms. On the right arm, pointing up toward the heaven, salve is the word in Latin. And on the left hand, pointing down, it's coagula. What is the meaning of these words? Well, salve basically means liberty. He says, I shall give you liberty. But of course, liberty brings chaos. And thus, the left hand points down to hell. And it is as if Baphomet, this horned idol god, this goat god, says, after your liberty is excessive and chaos results, then he, the one we worship, Satan, shall bring order. Coagula. Because coagula is a word meaning to coagulate, to harden, to bring everything together as one. Satan. Yes, he brings liberty from God. Liberty to do as thou wilt, to do your own thing, the 60s hippies said. But chaos results, but don't worry, Ardo Ab Keo is the 33rd degree motto of Freemasonry, and their great god Baphomet will bring order to the world out of this chaos. He has the great torch of Prometheus, of Vulcan. He is the very god of fire. And he has two characters, both good and bad. And the golem, read your encyclopedias of the Jews. The rabbis created the golem, and sometimes he was very, very good. Even the Frankenstein movies, notice sometimes he's so good. Why? He takes a young girl into his lap. Oh, he's so loving. But when she begins to cry, he takes her and he smashes all the breath out of her and kills her. He didn't mean to. But then he turns against the world, even his own creators, the Jews, and destroys the castle of Baron Dr. Frankenstein. He turns on his creators. But the Jews, the rabbis say, we have ways, we have magic to keep him at bay. We have our secret names, our secret letters in the Hebrew alphabet. We have the tetragrammaton, the name of God. They even say that they have a name, and it's Amet. It means truth. And they can write this magical name in Hebrew, truth, on the forehead of the beast, and he will go forth to do good. That means to slay the enemies of the Jews. But wait. If you take off the letter A and the word Amet, it just becomes Met, and it means dead in Hebrew, death. Truth, the light. But wait, his other character is darkness, it is death. And they believe that through the use of words, secret words, magical words, Kabbalistic words, sorcerous words, the rabbis can bring him to life or death. But is it not so that he goes forth to bring only Judaic truth, and he is a creature of death? He is Thoth, the god of the underworld, the golem monster. Two beasts and one being, for he is the image of the first beast. As above, so below. He is both Behemoth and Leviathan. And now this great golem has all of the nuclear bombs of the nation of Israel and Europe. Did you know, dear friends, I'm going to be talking in a couple of weeks here about the secret project to build the atomic bomb. Did you know that there in Los Alamos, when they built the first bomb and exploded it, one of the secret projects going on was the building of the golem? Did you know that the first atomic bomb exploded on Japan was named Little Boy? And it was believed through magic that this little boy, once exploded, would metamorphosis and grow into the golem. And so it has. Little Boy has grown into a man. The Soviet man. The New Age man. Vulcan. A giant of Genesis 6. Related to the goat god Pan. Tubal Cain, an artificer in iron, the very beast, the iron beast of Daniel. The book of Daniel says he is a he-goat. And is Baphomet not a he-goat as well as a she-goat? Golem, proven to be Baphomet. In a recent book published by a Freemason named Milo Duquette, he said many people believe it's just a myth and a legend, the story of Baphomet being worshipped by the Knights Templar. He said, but I believe it to be true. And he goes on to recommend, in his own way, that Baphomet be worshipped today. Mr. Duquette, you know he is worshipped today at the highest levels of Freemasonry. He is worshipped as the great god Marduk or Moloch. At the Bohemian Grove, he is worshipped in the form of Skull and Bones, at the Order of Skull and Bones in the tomb off the campus of Yale. He is the golem, and he is destined to bring horror, misery, and death to the world because it's prophesied. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy, and my prayer is that you will tune in each week during this same time here on Worldwide Christian Radio and PowerOfProphecy.com. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.